You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Leaving work in a mood? Time to change that with Overdrive.
He texts me right away. He goes, I think Kenny Jeong is sitting right beside me.
Chow from The Hangover.
Yes.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Chow from The Hangover knocked you back into coach.
Toodaloo,
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, big Monday. Big Monday. The Maple Leafs are in action tonight. Colorado in town. We'll tee it up throughout the afternoon. Blue Jays made a lot of news late in the week and over the weekend. Ross Atkins. We haven't caught up with Ross in a long time. He'll be on at 4:30. And I think the biggest story of the weekend, I never thought I'd see the day, but Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are officially underdogs. They're officially underdogs. And if you listen to Tom, he said no one liked us. Everyone thought we sucked and we were brutal.
I saw your tweet because that was right after his post-game comments where he basically had been listening to the media all week.
Well, there were a lot of premature eulogies of that dynasty. I will say that. A lot of premature eulogies.
Well, do you think they can win? No.
They are going to be dogs. Vegas has them as dogs. Yeah, but there's four teams left.
And it's Tom Brady and Belichick. I'm betting on the Patriots.
I might bet on the Patriots as well. I think it's going to be a great game next weekend. But we're too far along for a true underdog. You know what I'm saying?
All four deserve to be there.
They're four of the best teams in the league. They're the four top seeds. The two top seeds from the AFC against the two top seeds from the NFC. This isn't a Cinderella.
And if you go through our whole season as a show, you're basically, what we're talking about is what we predicted at the beginning. These are the best teams.
I'd like to go back, actually.
5 weeks in, we're like, these are the best teams. They're going to match up, and let's see what you got.
That's what it was looking like. Where we are.
Outside of star status, who is the best player left out of the four teams?
Well, Mahomes is going to win the MVP.
But I'm saying,
Aaron Donald's probably the guy. He is the biggest disruptor. He is a beast for the Rams.
He is a monster.
Yes. As much as there is probably not a debate in terms of who's going to win the MVP, I think it'll be Mahomes.
Right.
There is no debate over who is going to be the defensive player of the year. I'd be shocked if it wasn't Aaron Donald. Shocked. Okay. So it's probably Donald, but there's so much star power left. Next Sunday is going to be epic. It's going to be outstanding.
You're
this
already
is what
calling
you
your day.
I'm calling my
That's
day.
That's your couching day? What do you have?
I revealed this last week. Oh, Noodles, you weren't here. You were on the road.
What? Did your wife plan some sort of
No. Yeah, she planned.
And you shut it down?
No. I supported. My girls fly for Fort Myers, Florida on Friday morning.
Wow.
Which means next Sunday.
I thought they're already there.
No, they leave this Friday.
Oh, so you are golden.
Next weekend.
I'm going to call it right now. This is what he's going to do.
Solo on Sunday.
He's going to drink his face off Friday night, and you know that. And then Saturday, he's going to be a waste of skin. Saturday night, he's not going to go out because he's going to be so tired and cranky. He'll wake up Sunday at about 11 a.m. just for all the pre-games.
Right.
And you will lay on the couch.
No, I say Friday night he goes out with his buddies.
Yeah, takes it deep.
Saturday, couple Kimmy Crawfords, just to kind of ease into the evening.
That's right. Set the tone. It's a mood setter, Kim Crawford.
Just chill out.
That's right.
And the reason I
early to bed, and then it's your time on Sunday.
The reason I say that you'll do nothing Saturday and you'll be frustrated, I don't think the Leafs play Saturday.
No, they don't. They're in Florida on Friday
which
night.
Which is kind of a rare Saturday night.
It doesn't make any sense. Why are the Leafs not playing on a Saturday night?
I know. But it only happens a couple times during the season. But I noticed that this morning.
Yes.
When I was looking at the schedule.
The Raptors are playing on Saturday night. So there is that.
I still think
I'll tune in for that game. But Sunday, I'm going to break a record. I am going to see if I can. I got to look for some sort of an apparatus where I don't have to breathe on my own. I need to buy an iWatch or what are those other watches that you can get?
Fitbit.
I need a Fitbit. Just to see if I can break the record for the least amount of movement.
42 steps the whole day. That's to the bathroom and back a few times and into bed.
I swear I'll do that for Sunday. Let's try to set it. We have until Friday afternoon to set a line. And we'll set my steps line.
I have one. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
To see what you do.
Set my line and we'll figure it out by the end of the week. And people can contribute online.
It's driving me crazy. I'm like, I had this iWatch and it's It kept saying to me, it's time for you to start moving.
This thing's going to call the paramedics.
Like, Kate Burness would always, like, tweet pictures. She's like, oh, yeah. I'm so happy I got my goal of 100 million steps.
Yeah, 28,000 steps
Mine
today.
Said, you have to get up and move.
You know when...
That's a 911 call.
You know when you're watching Netflix so long and then it puts up a warning, are you still watching? Yeah. My Fitbit will say, are you still alive?
Exactly.
By about the second half of the second game on Sunday, the paramedics are going to come flying through my door. The Fitbit called, there's no way you're a human being and you're still alive. You haven't moved in 7 hours.
That is awesome.
So we'll set the line by Friday afternoon, the amount of steps I'm going to take on Sunday, and I intend on breaking records, and I'm going to hammer the under because I'm not doing anything. I'm looking forward to it. You're right. The Leafs don't play next Saturday. The Raptors do play on Saturday night, though, down at Scotiabank. The Leafs were in action on Saturday night against Boston, and we all know how that played out. Boston, David Pastrnak, 24 points in the last 12 games.
And that one
playoffs
was kind of
regular season.
That goal was a bit of an outlier because he got thrown on with a fourth line shift, right? Because that
was
Corrali.
Yeah,
he came off the bench on that one. So he was just, they were just in the change. But I don't know. I was on SportsCenter that night, and I know people get worked up about it. Where do you stand with this? But I personally, there are teams that I know 100% that I struggled against just in my career. That was personal. But from a team standpoint, I never had that like, oh, we just can't beat this team. Or, you know, I know there's a little bit of history there, but Austin Matthews hasn't been around for, you know, all this time. Neither is Mitch Marner. There's
funny.
Only two guys on that team.
You bring up that name, Jamie. Mitch Marner plays good against the Bruins. He gets it done. He makes things happen, but it's frustrating if you're a Leaf fan how Chara just turns back the clock against the Leafs and he looks like he's 25.
Yeah.
Plays fantastic. Pastrnak is unreal against the Leafs. Marchand is unreal against the Leafs.
Well, Bergeron was brilliant.
As usual.
He's a hell of a player. You know, but the
thing is, if you're a Leaf fan, how come we're not looking at this saying, Austin Matthews isn't amazing against the Bruins? Go down the list. It's like, why are their guys so much better with this matchup? And if you're looking at it, they're probably going to play each other.
Yeah, but
aren't they?
That's where it's going.
Yeah.
That's where it's trending.
I'm in a little bit defensive mode for them. I got to be honest, because I don't think a game in January has any effect on anything in April.
Jamie, we're talking a lot more than January. We're talking about a history.
A matchup. Like, talk to Leaf fans. There is some nostalgia here.
Right.
On
Dude,
paper,
you talked about
the
color
standings.
Of the seats in Boston.
Right.
You don't like them.
But I'll use
I'll
use a positive analogy for Toronto Maple Leaf fans.
Mm-hmm.
And now there was more of a sample size. But year in, year out, Ottawa was better on paper. They were better in the standings. They were better across the board.
The Leafs.
Underlying stats, possession, everything.
Yeah.
They'd show up in the playoffs and the Leafs would dummy them every single year.
We should call Tux. We should cold call Tux and say, what was that all about? Because they were better. They had 100 and something points.
Every year, the Leafs started on the road. And listen, I think 4 of 6 years where they met.
Right.
And this is the Leafs in Boston. They met once. The 2013 series doesn't count.
Well,
completely
that's
irrelevant.
That's why I think.
But I guess the point I'm making is the matchup. You know, people can yell and scream about underlying stats, and they can say,
right.
Well, if you look at this and you look at that, well, Freddie this, Freddie that. It's about the matchup that really matters. You know, do they match up? Can they get over the top?
Well,
in April, you know, probably going to find out again.
Okay, so I was trying to be positive. If you want some negative on that, with that defensive core, no.
Zaitsev and Gardner are terrified to play against that team.
But
Boston loves chipping away at those two.
But that's what I'm saying.
Chipping away at those two.
I'm starting to think, and it's not even, I think there's a lot of talent there. I think there's some stuff there, but it's just, it's the mix. There's something just a little bit off. And I'll give you an example. I don't know if we were on our internal text if I sent this to you. You know who really impressed me the other night for Boston? Miller. Kevin Miller. Mean on the back end, shut down the cycle. I don't know how many times where...
Mean's a good word. Like, mean's...
But just...
I like mean.
But hear me out. He just played a simple game and was tough to play against. And I don't know how many times the Leafs tried a little stop back play or something. He was just there like, nope, not going to happen. I don't see any of that on the Leafs. I see teams that can get a cycle going. I don't see a defender that can stop the cycle. Other than your top, like Morgan's a stud for me. I love Morgan. I think Hainsey knows what to do. I think Jake can do it in small stretches. But that defensive core can get exposed in heavier games because there's nobody to stop any type of cycle or battle down low. And maybe it is going to be a trade. And it you know, that's why I kept saying, you know, the Oilers went and got Petrovic. Petrovic isn't going to be a world beater, but man, he's tough to play against. And that who on the back end for the Leafs is tough to play against a team that plays physical? Nobody.
No, there isn't a current example.
That's something that you could do some tweaking at the deadline. Like, I'm not that worried about it. But when I start looking at matchups, like you said, Chara looks like he's 25 there. Chara.
Brandon Carlo's a big
Carlo's
boy.
He's a really good player,
very
too.
Very good player. Yeah,
McAvoy,
no, they're the matchup, they took them to seven. Like, it's still a coin flip. Yeah. I'm not saying that the Bruins would guarantee a win or that I would feel confident in guaranteeing a win for either side. I think the Leafs are still stacked with talent. Again, they didn't play poorly on Saturday night. They just couldn't chip away.
Yeah.
And bad mistakes ended up costing them from guys like Zaitsev, guys like Hainsey, like Gardner. And they had their third string goalie in. I didn't love the second goal. But still, the fact is it's about the matchup. It's about how you're going to find a way to, you know, hike up that mountain, and how are you going to plant your flag at the top of the summit? Because that's where it's going. Well, you know, it's going towards Leafs Bruins again. And I said last week, and I still stand by it, regardless of what happened on Saturday night. Right. I relish that opportunity. I want to see them get over that hump. I want to, and it's not like the Bruins don't have their flaws. They have to expose their flaws.
They do.
But it does feel like, you know, their big players, their best players are consistently their best players in the biggest games.
Yeah.
And specifically against the Leafs. And, you know, you mentioned Matthews. I thought he was quiet. Again, I think he's been real quiet lately, not just the one goal in nine.
He's one of those guys. It's like against the Boston Bruins. How come we're not talking about you being like Pastrnak? Like the guy that dominates the game, that scores every time. He's invisible.
Well, he is.
Is he not?
He didn't play well on Saturday. Like, he played 16-15, and I heard Wheeler talking about it
today. Okay, of all
the
games in the playoffs last year, how many games was he a dominant player?
No, he didn't have a good playoff. That's indisputable.
But how many games? Zero.
I'm not fighting you on that. What I'm saying is... a lot of times I fight for this guy to get more ice time. And I believe 9 times out of 10 I'm right in that. I don't blame Babcock for not going to him 20 minutes on Saturday night. And what I think has become abundantly clear, and it's a good problem to have, but look at what they're facing tonight. This McKinnon line is the hottest line in the league. Tavares is getting it. If Babcock has a choice of one line going over the ice or over the bench, it's Tavares every single day of the week.
Austin Matthews, if Tavares gets that assignment, you better be damn good tonight. Because who the hell are you playing against?
Who? Stiffs. Relatively speaking, based on the way Colorado's been playing, their depth has been challenged. The top line continues to play well.
Yeah.
And Montreal, it's the rest of the lineup that hasn't played well.
The only thing that's a little bit scary if you're Leafs fans is Colorado's going to be pissed. They haven't played very well, and Montreal shut them out
the
other
night.
And they haven't done a good job. So you're right. Top-heavy team, that you have to focus on that top line and then go at it with the rest of the depth.
And that's valid, but the Leafs should be pissed too.
Oh, right?
They got
Freddie
back. They've lost 4 of 6 in regulation here.
Yep.
They got Tampa on Thursday. You know, you got to make sure you're not looking ahead. It's a Monday night. It's not like this building's going to be a rock concert this evening.
It's
a good challenge for the Leafs.
I don't know
tonight.
If you got... Is there a... We should look into this. I always forget to look it up, but their Monday night record isn't dazzling, is it? Like, it always seems like Monday nights are duds, just the game period.
Well, yeah, if you've been in the building on a Monday night.
You're coming off of Saturday, and
quiet.
Monday nights always seem to be duds. You got an opportunity to turn the tides here.
No, and I got all the faith in the world in Matthews doing that. It's just a matter of time before he does,
for sure.
You know, I think, challenge... You talk about internal battles, though. This is set up perfectly for him. Mm-hmm. You know, John Tavares is pulling his weight and doing extremely well, as we know. That line, you can't poke any holes in it. Hyman, Tavares, Marner has been exceptional almost since day one. They had a couple of off nights, of course, but for the most part, they've been very consistent. Yeah. Now, is it partially because Matthews is with Johnsson and Kapanen, as opposed to William Nylander pulling his weight, and William Nylander being in a position where he can boost... Did the big guy, I think that might factor in a little bit, but you know, Matthews should be looking at this like, okay, if Babcock wants to put them over the boards more than me, I'll show him that he has to put me on the ice
more. Did you like the adjustment on power play? Like, isn't this what we talked about going in the season? All of a sudden, Matthews is on the second power play.
Well, and he noticed at the end of the game, they couldn't get him on the ice. Yeah. Now, that was because there wasn't a whistle, and he had just been out
and
there.
And his leg was over the boards. Like, he was waiting.
But he was dying, and he wasn't happy. You know,
Of course. That's a horse eye.
Yes. That's a what the hell's going on
like,
here.
That's
if it comes back out of the blue line, yell for some guy to get the hell off the ice
or
and
do
get
the,
me on the
do
ice.
What the Tampa did last night. You see they changed the goalie on the fly? I don't know if you saw that. With 9 minutes left in the third, they're chasing the game. Vasilevsky changed on the fly and then came back in when Tampa got possession back in their own zone. I mean, when you're up by 10 points
right?
in the league,
yeah.
they try things outside the box, but I just thought it was kind of funny. But I don't know if I love separating that power play. Like, I think Nazem Kadri could slide to the second power play. Like, for me.
Well, it all comes down to there's only one puck, though, right?
Like, written in stone, when you have, what does he have, 8 goals, 9 goals?
Yes, two and 26.
But you don't want Matthews playing his role on that power play.
No.
He's a decoy that sits in the middle of the ice.
But
that's not utilizing
Matthews. But don't you think that power play then has become too predictable? That's the one thing. Like you said, it's not running through him. To me, you have to start switching things up. Like I watched Calgary play last night. They moved the puck around on the power play. You see how, like, the motion they have? If I had to defend against the Toronto Maple Leafs power play, we all know there's two people it's running through. It's Marner or Riley. So what do? You cut the ice in half, try and limit as many lanes. Easier said than done because
they're
great players.
Jamie, they got a bunch of talented guys, and if you're not doing it, you're not on the power play.
Well,
that's the way I would run it. Like, put a unit out there, go out and do it. If you don't, don't go out there.
That's what Babs is trying to do. He's got two power plays that can be
Detroit
capable.
Think of Detroit back in the day with Shanahan, Yzerman, Fedorov, Larionov, Lidstrom, Kozlov. It's
well, and the Leafs have that embarrassment of riches. Like, not to that extent where
but figure it out. And if you don't figure it out as a unit, you're not going out there.
Right. And this is on Babcock to figure that out. You know, it's his job to figure out the right systems, the right line combinations, the right minutes that are supposed to be doled out. You know, he's got to listen. We talk about Boston, and it's focused because of what happened last year and because where we believe it's going this year.
Right.
Things can change. There's still 35 plus games left to be played, but I think it's a reasonable bet that it'll be Toronto, Boston in the first round.
I'm pretty sure.
So Babcock's got 3 months to make sure his team's prepared,
and
I have no doubt that they will be, but find out a game plan where you can beat these guys.
Let's not forget, too, 3 months is a lifetime in the hockey world. Like, things can change, injuries, inconsistency. You need
the trade deadline.
You need health. You need so many things. And you're right. Like, they're in control of their own destiny. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I think in looking at them, they had such a nice start. Everyone thought that they were just going to roll to 120 points, and it's not the case. The league tightens up, and there's teams that are starting to push and get a little bit of games together. It's a good challenge for them. Like, you know, Pittsburgh all of a sudden has woken up, and Washington, and, you know, Columbus is a really good team. Like, there's teams around them that are good, and they're going to challenge them, and that's good for them because, you know, I always found that there was teams, sometimes if you have a nice little cakewalk through the regular season, doesn't battle test you for the playoffs. And how many times have you seen that? I played on a team like that. We lost in the first round. We won the President's Trophy. And in the first round, we lost to San Jose in 7, where we should have rinsed them, but we didn't. And I'm not suggesting that's what the Leafs are going to go through, but this is some of the ebbs and flows of the season they got to go through.
Right. Everything's a learning experience and a learning opportunity. And you know, their talent is still there. Freddie being back is a big part of this.
Yeah.
His importance has become very clear. Not that it was ever up for debate.
No.
But, you know, Hutchinson, he did what you would expect him to do. He played fine, but it's Freddie's net, you know, and make sure that he's geared up and ready, and he can be the great equalizer.
But
he can
that's
be the equalizer of all equalizers.
That's the difference between elite goaltending and average goaltending. That's the difference. Could be a goal a night, could be a save here or there.
And Freddie back tonight. You can watch that game on TSN4. Rays coming up from Scotiabank just after 5. We've got Marcellus Wiley and Jake Plummer on the four teams left in the NFL and what they thought of the weekend that was, including Brady and the Pats laying a beating on Marcellus Wiley's Chargers.
Man, that was a beating. I love it.
Masterpiece. Like that first half was a masterpiece on both sides of the ball. Belichick just rolls in. Go ahead, talk about Sean McVay. And
I'll just never forget when I moved to Hartford, Connecticut in my first year. I had a billet dad. I had to live with the family. And he's like, we got to cheer for the New England Patriots. I'm like, all right. What a great decision.
What a mentor, a sports mentor.
But they were terrible at that time.
Oh, they were brutal for a long time. Although they got to the Super Bowl in 97.
Wasn't Bledsoe there?
This was 95. Yeah, they were junk.
They were bad.
Was Bledsoe? Who was the guy?
Yeah, Bledsoe was Parcells. There. Parcells was there.
Wasn't he a guy who like smoked cigars? And wasn't he...
Bledsoe or Parcells?
No. Bledsoe. I swear I thought I saw
Who cares?
A picture
He's
of
gone.
Him at a concert one time with Maybe. A cigar
it
during
doesn't
the
matter.
Season.
He was Brady. Remember, that's
but
how Brady
great
gets
advice.
Started.
What great advice. You know what? We're New Englanders. We got to cheer for this team.
Good for them.
And I'd go in the basement, and he'd be watching the game. I'm like...
How different would the whole Maple Leaf history and the vibe of the team be if it was the Ontario Maple Leafs instead of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
That'd be weird. Like New England Patriots.
Well, New England is what, six states or seven states? Like people in Rhode Island can hold claim to the team as much as people in Boston.
So you're thinking Ontario Leafs.
Yeah, like how different would that be?
Or like Eastern Leafs.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
no,
New England's
I
a whole region. It's not just Boston.
Yeah.
The Ontario Maple Leafs are in action tonight.
I kind of like it.
Because Colorado's the whole state. It's not Denver Avalanche.
No, you're right. But, I mean, what would the Sens say?
Well, they couldn't be in the league. That'd be great.
They probably don't want to be.
Yeah, they might not want to be. Ross Atkins and the Jays made some big news on Friday. Russell Martin traded to the Dodgers. We'll get you an explanation on that. And an update on Kyler Murray, Heisman winner, and what he plans on doing with his career.
What's he doing? What is he thinking?
We'll get you an update. We'll ask Ross how he would handle this situation. We'll get to that next. All right, Ray's coming up live from Scotiabank ahead of the Leaf game tonight. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30 on the divisional round in the NFL. Four teams left. Four possible Super Bowl matchups, and all four of them are very, very captivating. And we'll get into the NFL around 5:30 with Marcellus. Jake Plummer coming up at 6:30 as well. The top four offenses from the 2018 season, they're all still alive. You know, so this theory that championships win or defenses win championships, you're going to need defense. And, you know, Kansas City's defense held up, the Rams' defense held up. But I think it's pretty clear in this era, you got to have smart coaches, you got to have a great quarterback, you got to have weapons. And all four teams have that.
Yep.
So we'll get to that later this afternoon. Ross Atkins coming up in a moment. We got some Snoop Dogg audio we got to get to as well. Some Trump audio, too. Do you see that Clemson is at the White House tonight, the national champs? Did you hear about this?
No.
If you were going to the White House, what would you expect to be on the menu? If you were going for the first time.
Steak or chicken or something. Like just the lobster. I don't know. Like the usuals. High-end food. Yeah.
Steak chicken option. Like, I don't know.
A fish option, too.
What do you think is supposed to be there?
I think caviar. I'm thinking sushi. I'm thinking the great. Dude, it's the White House.
Yeah, they've got it. Anything you want.
I'm thinking the chef.
Are you leading into something?
Yes, I'm leading into something.
Because chicken fingers is available?
Here, I'll let Trump tell you. This is what Trump said today out on whatever it was, the West Lawn or whatever. This is what's on the menu tonight for the national champs.
The Clemson championship team, the national championship team, will be coming tonight. It'll be exciting. A very great team, an unbelievable team. They'll be coming tonight. And I think we're going to serve McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza. I really mean it. It'll be interesting. And I would think that's their favorite food. So we'll see what happens.
Welcome to the White House. Here's a Whopper.
I kind of think it's hilarious.
No, that's not for real. He's either...
He's being serious.
He trolls a lot, but like
I think he's being legit. Serious.
But like, guaranteed in his mind, he's 75 years old.
Yeah.
Young people just like fast food. So he probably was like, yeah, like, get these kids some pizza, McDonald's, Wendy's, Whopper, whatever you want.
I think he's got a hankering for all that.
Probably.
He's like, this is on the menu tonight. But if I was going to the White House Parliament Hill, I'd be
but
like,
but if it's a seated menu, like, you're expecting like a nice filet mignon or like a...
No, filet of fish.
Yeah,
I'll take... Nice chicken, spicy chicken.
I'll take
Wendy's.
A McChicken.
plain.
And some fries. Pizza. A Whopper, some McDonald's fries, and a slice. That's what's on the menu tonight for Clemson.
I was at McDonald's the other day. I think I sent you guys a note. There's some people with some ordering habits in there.
That I support, personally.
Pretty impressive.
All right, Ray coming up, Marcellus Wiley in an hour. The Blue Jays, we're getting real close. Pitchers and catchers right around the corner. They're going to be reporting down in Dunedin. Here's the GM of the Blue Jays, Ross Atkins. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing all right, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
That was an interesting topic you guys kicked off with.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll throw that at you. If you were invited to the White House, what would you expect to be on the menu?
Oh, man, on the menu. Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have guessed Burger King. I wouldn't have been my first guess.
No. McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King.
Even if you're courting like a free agent or something, you're flying his family.
That's right.
His family and wife and kids. Like, I guess, would McDonald's not be front and center?
How does that work with the courting process? Do you do like Harbor 60 when you're showing them Toronto? What's the plan here for the Jays?
Well, it all depends on the player, right? You know, you got to do the reconnaissance. You got to know what they like. But yeah, there's definitely an aspect of recruiting that does matter. There's nothing more powerful than, you know, dollars and winning environments in the end. And, you know, we'll be fortunate to have both of those in the coming days.
With Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays, before we get to the stuff that you guys are specifically involved in with your club, I want to ask you about probably the biggest story in baseball right now pertaining to Kyler Murray. And obviously he's an Oakland Athletics pick, and now he has declared he's going to go into the NFL draft. That doesn't mean he's not going to be playing baseball in the future. But in terms of your own philosophy with the draft, and I guess specifically if you've run into this with first-round picks, how have you historically handled dual-sport athletes when it comes to the baseball draft?
You know, one of the biggest challenges, especially for someone playing at a program in the NCAA as big as the program that Kyler Murray was a part of and getting the attention that he was getting, is then, you know, going to play in Dunedin, Florida, in front of 100 to 500 people, riding on buses that aren't nearly as nice, and that staying in hotels that aren't nearly as nice as those that you would be staying in as a college football athlete, and, you know, being potentially 2 to 4 years away from being in that major league environment is such a big challenge. And how you weigh how a player will handle that all comes down to your area scout's knowledge of the player. So, you know, you ultimately can't place a value on that and just how well that you know a player, what motivates them, what's going to happen when things are hard and difficult, and understanding that, and then ultimately, evaluate them as a baseball player and try to separate that out. So it's an incredible situation to be in for Kyler Murray, and it's one that I don't think anyone wouldn't love to be in, to have an opportunity like that, to be that special of a talent. So we'll certainly be intriguing and interesting moving forward.
On Friday, you guys obviously made a trade. You avoided arbitration with a lot of your guys, but the biggest news item was Russell Martin being traded to the Dodgers for a couple of minor league players, and you guys are going to eat a lot of that contract, a lot of the money that's remaining on the deal. We all spoke throughout the season last year and into September towards the end of the year, specifically about the role of a guy like Martin, who wasn't being utilized much in September. He didn't play a lot. Danny Jansen came up, stepped in, played well. But take us through the thought process here in terms of Russell Martin and why you decided that, you know, it didn't make sense to keep him around as kind of a veteran presence, a guy who can play all over the diamond if need be, and it made more sense to move on from him.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you can't say anything but just, you know, incredible things about Russ and what he's meant to this organization, the impact that he had on the team, on the city, on the country. He is one of the toughest individuals I've been around. And I said that to him when we traded him. And he's also exceptionally bright. His instincts are incredible. What he's been able to do as a catcher throughout his career is remarkable. A lot of people, before his free agent contract, you know, we're leery of what that would mean, the wear and tear, and he has handled it so well, and that's what speaks to his toughness. So, you know, why is, and on the veteran leadership front, you know, we feel like we actually have a solid group of veterans in Kendrys Morales and Justin Smoak, Kevin Pillar, Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman are growing into those roles. Ultimately, it comes down to being on the field to have that significant of a presence. There are the rare Jason Giambis and Carlos Beltrans at the end of their career where they can make an impact for potentially a year as a role player, as a bench player, but that's hard to do. So when playing time is decreased, it's hard to really be that veteran presence. It's just it's few and far between. So we're, as I said, we're confident about some of the leaders that we do have in the clubhouse. And, you know, ultimately there was a part of it that was playing time driven for, you know, Danny Jansen and Reese McGuire and Luke Maley. And the other part of it is us getting some return. So, you know, we're excited about the two young players that are coming to our organization, and Sopko and Brito. And we can't have enough depth, and we've continued to add depth to our system. I think we've added since the deadline well over 10 pitchers at the upper levels since the trade deadline. And this offseason, we've added six of those. We've had to subtract a couple of position players to get them. But they were in areas that we do feel like we had some depth. To turn that into pitching has been our goal, and we'll continue to look to add and build around it.
Ross, we talk a lot on this show on organizations that are struggling and, you know, trying to turn things around. What do you think is the reasonable timeline? Or I don't even know if there is one, because some teams try to do it and they don't do it. But, you know, you're getting younger, you're moving older pieces out. What do you think is a reasonable timeline where the Jays can be competitive once again?
Yeah, you know, it's like, why limit it and why put it out too far, right, is what I would say. So, reasonable, I've been on the record as saying, is it one, is it two, is it 3 years? If it's more, we're in trouble. You know, so if it takes more, because we've had a couple of tough years, this market, this city, this country demands a winning environment, and we're confident that we'll have one, you know, relatively soon. And I, to take that out, to take this year out of the equation, I don't think is smart. And at the same time, to say, we think realistically it's going to be in 2 or 3 years. The reality of it is we're just pushing to make that as soon as humanly possible.
Well, how do you juggle with the turnover here, where a lot of veterans have made their way out over the past 12 to 18 months, and now there's younger guys who we presume are going to step in and walk onto the roster and play? But how do you make sure that there's still internal competition? Are you anxious at all, or is there any trepidation about just, quote-unquote, handing these, you know, roster spots over to guys, a guy like Danny Jansen, who had a great September, but is he going to walk in and catch 100 games, 110 games? I mean, how do you intend on obviously getting playing time for these young players, but making sure that they're earning it at the same time?
Well, that strikes a chord. I mean, we couldn't agree with you more, and that they have to earn it, and we feel as though Danny Jansen has. If you look at his performance, it suggests he should be playing at a higher level for how the period of time that he performed in AAA and how he's taken on to the leadership role. He's ready for the next challenge. And supporting him with Luke Maley and could Reese McGuire could be in that mix and fold at some point and somehow, we feel is a very, very good starting point. Now, you know, if one or two or three of those guys aren't performing, we'll have to make an adjustment. We're, you know, at the major leagues, there's always some level of development for young players coming to the major leagues. They will improve, and hopefully they will always continue to take that mindset that they have to continue to improve. But ultimately, we can't just roll out someone that's not capable of holding a job. So, you know, they all know that. They all realize that they have to perform, and that's what, you know, ultimately drives this game.
How does it apply to the rotation going into this season, where last year, you know, you guys didn't have really anyone that racked up high limit, you know, innings? Hap would have been there if he didn't deal him. He probably would have hit 160, 170. I haven't looked at his numbers recently. But a lot of your guys, you know, because of the turnover in the rotation and injuries and lack of performance, didn't really get that opportunity to go out there every fifth day. But specifically with the kids that we saw at times, like Baraki and Pannone and Reed Foley, what's the plan going into camp with them, and what do they have to do to prove that they should be on the starting roster?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just related to that is we have, for the first time since I've been here, we have 20 pitchers above double A or in double A and above that have starting potential and for the major league. So with a rotation starting with Stroman and Sanchez, some combination of the names you just mentioned, and Shoemaker and Richard, AAA rotation potentially, that depending on who makes our team, with some of the names you mentioned, other names you haven't mentioned, and Trent Thornton, Sam DeVillo, TJ Zoik, Hector Perez, Wagisvac that we traded for, Copping that we traded for, Sopko that we just traded for, guys we've added to our roster, and Yancy Diaz and Patrick Murphy, trading for Julian Merriweather. These guys have put the ball over the plate. They have swing and miss. Most of them have very good walk rates, meaning they don't walk a ton of guys. And listen, one or two of those guys is going to turn into a solid number two or three starter. Hopefully one or two of them turns into a number one. Several of them are going to turn into solid number three and four starters. And we're going to have great stories out of that group. And it really starts with having depth.
Well, pitchers and catchers in about a month. It's creeping real, real close here. And
Bryce Harper's still out there. Come on now.
That's true. What's up with Harper? You guys making calls or what?
He would fit well in between Bichette and Vladdy at some point. There's no question. He's an intriguing player.
Well, but in all honesty, though, why not? Like, he's 26 years old. You know, I know you guys are on a different timeline and money's going out as opposed to coming in. But it's not like he's a 33, 34-year-old. He's going to be a part of a core for the next decade. Why not even contemplate the idea of signing Bryce Harper?
Well, believe me, there we spend time and energy on it, and your point definitely, it makes sense. There's no doubt about it.
All right.
Basically, well, you're saying you want to sign him and someone told you to go stuff it, is what you're saying.
No, that's certainly not what I was saying. It's something that we've contemplated, we'll continue to, and it's there's a lot of talent that will be able to help our organization moving forward, and we'll continue to consider all of our alternatives.
All right, we'll see where it goes. Yeah. Always appreciate you taking time. Thank you, Ross.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There's Ross Atkins, GM of the Jays.
The Jays are pursuing Bryce Harper is our statement.
Wow, well, that's going to be Overdrive's headline, right?
We radioed ourselves.
Yeah, we did. I'm glad you brought it up. I wanted to ask him that, like about, you know, I knew he's not going to say yes or no or who's determining what's going to happen with Harper, but Harper's out there.
It's a legit question.
100%
it is. You're a young team. Why not?
We talked about it a lot. Like, Harper's 26.
But he's also not going to say, yeah, he told us to stuff it down a sock.
Well, it also, it's going to cost you $330 million.
Right.
You know, give or take. So I think that makes it a little bit more complicated. Like I said, money's going out. It's not being spent right now on this team, but you know, at some point, what he said, if Vladdy develops and Bichette develop to where we think they could develop,
it'd be nice to have Harper right there with him.
Let's see where he's at. Maybe he'll sign a deal and he opts out in 3 years, and then we'll hold Ross's feet to the fire on that.
There you go.
Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Marcellus Wiley on the underdog New England Patriots. Can't believe we've come to this point. We'll get to that at 5:30. All right, we're off to Vegas a month today. Vegas. Leafs, Golden Knights, two of the best teams in the NHL. And two lucky people are either going to get married for the first time or they're going to renew their vows, courtesy of our friends at TripCentral.ca. Flights, accommodations provided by TripCentral.ca. We've been asking people for, what, about 2 months now to submit why they should be along for the ride?
Hundreds of submissions.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. People are saying it's a big deal that you can come ride with us in Vegas.
Yeah,
and we've been talking to a lot of different people who have been making bids, and we've got a guy on the line here, And it's up on our Instagram account, at TSN1050. It's up on our Twitter account, at Overdrive1050. Sean Coors is his name. Sean submitted a cartoon that is...
It's outstanding.
He put more work into the show than maybe we have collectively put in in months.
I don't do any work. I just show up.
Well, Sean did not. He wanted this trip. He wanted an opportunity to come on and explain himself.
It's impressive.
Here's Sean. Sean, take us through this, man. How did you come up with this idea?
I just wanted to have some fun with it and do something on the creative side. And I don't know, just show what my wife has to put up with.
Like, yes. Did you actually how do you make a cartoon? Does your buddy do it or you did
it?
No,
there's a program for it, like an online program for it.
Wow.
It's easy. Even you could do it, O-Dog.
I don't think so, buddy. I don't generally get involved.
No, I don't think any of us could, really. But so you want to come along for the ride in Vegas?
Absolutely.
Take us through your whole pitch, your whole spiel. Why should we be picking you, Sean?
Well, the hardest part, actually, with that cartoon was what to include. I had to cut out a lot of stuff because I could only do a minute and a half, thanks to Peg's rules. So I had to cut out some funny stuff, but... yeah, my wife she deserves it. I'm what you call over-wifed, if you will. Like, she's just, she's too good for me. So she works hard, 9 to 5, takes care of the kids, both kids, 3 kids if you include me in there. Oof. And, yeah, she's earned it. She's had to put up with a lot. There's been, I've got the kids talking Overdrive now, too, so they come up with their own terms.
That's great.
Just before we let you go, like, how did your wife get engaged? Does she actually hate Overdrive with all the sayings and the stupid stuff, or did you bring
it
across?
No, I'm not gonna lie, maybe it wouldn't be her first choice to listen to every day from 4 to 7, but mm-hmm. It's always on in the car. It's
like
on in
that.
The house when she gets home from work in about 10 minutes, and she just tolerates it.
Well, I love it. Godspeed to her.
It is.
Your whole crew there, Sean. We appreciate the submission. We wish you nothing but success and good luck in all this. And the cartoon is brilliant, man. Great job. We really appreciate it. And I'm
all
sure
right,
Peg Bundy will reach out to you in the next 2 or 3 days, all right?
Awesome.
All right,
can't
buddy.
Wait.
There's Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Sean Coors.
That's Coors Light.
Solid
Sean
name.
Coors Light.
That's C minus. I love
like
it.
That's a solid name.
Yeah.
I love a C minus on a just after baseball. Poof.
Coors Light.
All right.
I don't mind it.
Race
C-
coming
minus.
Up, Marcellus Wiley at 5:30.